What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and today we're talking about embarrassment. Oh, yeah. What? Yeah, seriously, what embarrasses you? I want to share an embarrassing story with you. This goes to a time when I was in Israel. This was in 2018. Some of you, as listeners, you may have actually been on this trip. We were taking our luggage from the hotel to this big charter bus, and I guess I forgot to zip my luggage. So what happened is, as I'm wheeling my bag all the way to this charter bus where everybody's loading, it's simultaneously dumping out all my personal belongings, to include undergarments. Dr. Varner, the leader of the trip, gets on the bus and he says, "Are these anybody's underwear?" I'm like, "Well, those look familiar." Is there a rock on this bus that I can crawl underneath and simultaneously die? It was an embarrassing moment. I remember as a kid getting embarrassed quite frequently, actually. The teacher would call on me. Someone would say something in class. Lady that knew I got embarrassed in eighth grade would like call out my name right in the middle of the class. My face goes red and she's like, "Aha, you know, like I embarrassed you." I want to talk about thinking biblically about embarrassment and trying to frame that through a lens of what's going on in that moment. And when do I know that I have biblical grounds for embarrassment? Or when do I know that maybe my embarrassment, like I get embarrassed over the wrong things. I can be embarrassed too easily. As we jump into that, remember that if you're listening to Transform, please make sure that you follow us or subscribe to the channel. It's super helpful. If you're on Apple, we'd love for you to leave a review, or Spotify. You could probably guess it's basically Apple and Spotify that are the largest platforms right now. So thank you for all the work that you've done. We are so honored to produce this at Fortis. And again, it's amazing to just watch God continue to use this podcast. The MADE series, for those of you that were listening a few weeks ago, man, I've had so much positive feedback and I want to thank you for that. So please keep writing in. I love to answer those questions, and it may take me a couple of days, but I'd try to get back to everybody, especially if you've been clear and concise. Okay, what embarrasses you? Think this through. What brings you embarrassment? For some of us, our house and its cleanliness embarrasses us, or how dirty it is. So a surprise guest shows up and you're mortified because you're thinking, "Oh man, you can't come into the house like this. Like, our house is super messy right now." So you're embarrassed by that. For some of us, our kids' behavior is an embarrassment to us. We know that people are not only looking at them act a fool in the middle of the grocery store or church or somewhere public, but they're also looking at us, and we feel the death glares. And sometimes at church, it feels like the most judgy of all places because everybody's like, "Hey, get control of your kid. Like, what kind of parent are you?" For some of us, our looks are things that embarrass us. And that's everything from freckles and body shapes and height and fat to muscle ratio, of course, those things. But then it's also just like you're self-conscious about certain things, or you're embarrassed about aspects of who God has made you to be. What really embarrasses you? I want you to kind of like think about that for a second, because what embarrasses you shows you what you value. Now, you're going to think that through with me throughout the next couple of podcasts. What embarrasses you shows you what you're going to value. Shows you what you do value and how your emotions correlate to what's going on in your inner person, often in what seems like an uncontrollable thing, but it is controllable. And you'll notice that embarrassment is not something that just happens to you. It's a response to what's taking place. Your inner person is responding to an environmental factor. And when your inner person responds in embarrassment, it shows you what you really value. For some of us, we really do value people's perspectives. And that's not always to come across like super needy or like I am the desperate one among us, but I care. And if I come across as disheveled, unprofessional, inconsiderate, incompetent, then that's embarrassing to me because I want to be perceived in those ways. And when I don't do something in that category, then it's, yeah, it's obvious. And so I'm embarrassed, you could say. For some of us, it shows that we value control and we never like to have something unprepared and unplanned. And we're embarrassed because we didn't think about that one, or we're embarrassed because our shoes were untied, or we have mismatched socks. And you think like, well, when you begin to get down to the root, like what really embarrasses you? What do you want at the heart level? What are you valuing? In the middle of the breakdown, and I've, trust me, I've been in these moments too, where one of my children in public will say something that is not kind of rude, like it is rude and disrespectful. And then what flashes through my mind is like, you're a professor at Masters, you're the host of Transformed, you're a pastor, biblical counselor, and this is how your kids talk to you in public. And if I'm not careful, I can respond in a way that's angry because I want to be seen as the good parent. You know, we want to be seen as the Von Trapp family. It's like I toot the whistle. All my kids are perfectly obedient, marching down the stairs. They say, yes, sir, no, sir. I love you, Dad. Good night. But that's just not the reality. Like I also shepherd three men who are my sons and they have sin natures. So I'm not always responsible for their sin. But if I worship being seen as the good parent, it's a very embarrassing moment, one that could lead me to be angry or sinful or unkind to my kids. I do want you to start to get at, like, if embarrassment is something you wrestle with on a regular basis, what is going on at the heart level? What do you value? What are you worshiping? What are you wanting that embarrassment takes from you or that type of exposure takes from you? And you respond in being embarrassed. So let's create a couple of categories. You guys know we do this all the time on Transform. I have a category for everything. It's like systematically, that's how we start to approach and explain things. So what are those categories? Well, is shame and is embarrassment the same thing? Oh, that's fair. Are shame and embarrassment the same thing? Well, they're almost the same. I would say they're similar. And within the biblical scope, it's almost indistinguishable to say, well, this is shame and this is embarrassment and here is why. I would argue that according to the scripture, and we'll jump into Ephesians 5 here in a second, that shame is something that is not always bad. In fact, it's part of God's goodness to us, that there are things in life that we should be ashamed of, Ephesians 5. So embarrassment and shame, they're not always the same thing, but embarrassment seems to be something more like a modern day of like socially or morally unacceptable. That's a Webster's definition of it. Socially and morally unacceptable. Meaning just practically that this is something that's uncouth. People don't do this in America. This is not the way I like to conduct myself. And that's embarrassment. Whereas shame is where there's actually moral decision and right and wrong. Something that's taking place where you've cast judgment on yourself, or maybe you're feeling conviction through the Holy Spirit by God and saying, yes, that is shame. And oh, by the way, it's good shame. Not all shame is bad. Remember, some shame is bad, some shame is unbiblical, but not all shame is bad. And if you've never worked through my guilt, repentance, and shame series on Transform, make sure that you go back to those because those are, they're like a necessary part of your theology. So let's think about shame and embarrassment. Let's start with embarrassment, okay? Embarrassment meaning you experience human finiteness and you had good motivation, and yet you were put in a situation that was honestly just kind of embarrassing. Think of that like a mistake, not an overt sin, a rebelliousness against the Lord or his word. You made a mistake. You, as a man, like you left with your zipper unzipped. You guys ever done that one? Jesus, take the wheel. It's like, Lord, please rapture me right now. I believe in a rapture, and now would be a perfect time for that. Was I trying to sin in doing that? No, I was careless, not thoughtful, didn't double check. The zipper was down. That is the Israel trip where the underwear fell out of the bag. That's when you leave the bathroom and you got toilet paper stuck to your shoe. Ladies, I'm sure you have some equivalent of that where it's like, man, that was an embarrassing moment and it demonstrated my finiteness. I am not perfect. I do not have it all together. And the toilet paper on my shoe, proverbially speaking, reminds me of that in a good way. So put that embarrassment, put some of your embarrassment in this finiteness category. Like I am not, at this wasn't a sin. I wasn't rebelling against God. I didn't see his word and reject it. Like I had toilet paper on my shoe and I would like to pretend I did not, but I did. And whatever embarrassing circumstance you're put in, you just think through that. So shame, when we think about shame, remember that this is the sensation of conviction or guilt or a burden. And it does correspond to your emotions. So shame, we're saying, is sinful when I've done something sinful. So if you're embarrassed, if we're using these terms interchangeably, which I don't think you can totally differentiate between shame and embarrassment, then you're saying something like, yeah, is embarrassment over sinful things? And the answer is yes, totally. For instance, you should have shame over what the Bible calls sin. Meaning when you've done something shameful, the last thing we would want you to do is say something like, well, you know, like, who cares? Who cares what you think? Like, who cares? God knows. God knows my heart. I can do whatever I want to do. Like, there is a value in having a conscience that is trained to the word of God. So if you do something shameful, which is a violation of the scripture, then you should feel shame and embarrassment should correspond to that. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, I want to pick up with Ephesians 5 and Luke 22, where Peter has regret, and it's very clear that he is ashamed of his actions. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment. He's talking about embarrassment today, and he's being transparent while he's doing it. What embarrasses you reveals what you actually value. I mean, think about it. If you're embarrassed when your house is messy and someone shows up unexpectedly, or when your kids act up in public, the point that Greg is making is that embarrassment shows what you're really worshiping. Maybe it's the approval of other people. Maybe it's looking like you have everything together in your life. Look, Fortis Plus is packed full of hundreds of hours of content just like this, and it's absolutely free of charge. And it's not static content that we curated 15 years ago. It's content that's being added to every single day. And again, it's free of charge. Just go download Fortis Plus right now to see exactly what I'm talking about. You can download it from where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or you can go to fortisplus.org. And someplace else that addresses this upside-down value system that we've been talking about, that would be the Masters University. That's where Greg is a professor at, as well as another one of our fellows, Dr. Adam Tyson. And look, what the Masters University is teaching students is to think biblically about what deserves shame and what doesn't. And they're being equipped with a biblical framework, so they see absolutely every decision and every avenue in their life. No matter what they wind up doing for a living, they see everything through a biblical framework. There's not many universities out there in this country with the convictions of the Masters University. So my recommendation is that TMU should be at the top of your list if you have a high school senior, you know someone who does, or maybe you're just considering going back to school yourself. Whatever the situation might be, TMU should be in the conversation, and you can get that conversation started right now by visiting masters.edu/transformed. Oh, and one other thing. You remember how I said all of the content we're producing on Fortis Plus is absolutely free of charge? There's a reason that it's free. It's because of our gospel partners. Our gospel partners are men and women just like you who have been impacted by all of the content that we're producing here at Fortis Institute, that they decided they wanted to stand with us to make sure more people in more places all over the world would also have access to this content. That might be you, and we would be honored to link arms with you if that's the case. You can find out more information about what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. We have been talking about embarrassment and thinking through embarrassment from a biblical perspective. It's funny because a listener actually wrote in about this a while ago, like I think 4 to 5 months ago. And I always thought, man, that's intriguing, especially as I have thought through embarrassment in my own life. And even recently, I was embarrassed last week as something happened personally. And I thought, oh man, like this is interesting. Like as a biblical counselor, you're like self-dissecting and diagnosing. It's like, what's going on in my heart? What's happening right now? So now back to the topic at hand. I've said that, you know, it's really hard to differentiate between embarrassment and shame. But there are times when you're embarrassed and it's just because of your finiteness. So that's the zipper unzipped, the underwear fell out of your bag, the toilet paper on the shoe type stuff. Like, those are things, it's like I wasn't trying to sabotage or be perverse or anything. Like, that's just me being a dork. You know, I'm a goofball and I don't know everything. I don't get it all right. But yet there are times when you actually should be embarrassed over your actions because they are shameful. I want to show you this one about Peter. Remember that Peter betrays the Lord. Okay, we know this. This is very clear. And what the text says is when he betrays the Lord the final time, Peter remembers the word of the Lord. This is Luke 22, verse 61. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." Peter did just that. Verse 62 says, "And he went out and he wept bitterly." Some of you have wept bitterly over your sin and the shame that causes. It's humiliating. It's embarrassing. It's abasing. It is a soul sucking. It takes from you. You feel a burden and a shame because you are at the epicenter of that thing. And before you immediately jump to how do I get out of that, I want you to rejoice and say that is good. In God's kindness, you experience shame because shame is intended to lead you to repentance. More on that here in a second. But yes, Peter, you should have felt ashamed. Look at what you did. You betrayed the Son of God just like he told you you would. Ephesians 5 is another crucial passage in this topic because we're going to see that the Ephesians are not to participate with the deeds in darkness. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 12, Paul says it's disgraceful or shameful to even speak of the things which are done by them in secret. So do not participate in them, but expose them. All things will be visible, so expose them, verse 11. Do not participate, expose. Okay, so what does that mean? It's shameful to even talk about verses 3 to verse 9 of what's taking place. What's 3 through 9? Sexual immorality, greed, filthiness, coarse jesting, foolish talk. These are not fitting. You are not an imitator of God. You are not walking in a manner worthy, Ephesians 4, verse 1. It's shameful to do those things. You have to know that shame is good. And so if we're saying embarrassment and shame, should you be embarrassed over your sin? The answer is yes, absolutely. Praise the Lord. Good for you. We're glad your conscience works. But if you have no shame, if you have no embarrassment over sin, you do have to say something like, "What is going on with my conscience?" That is what the Bible calls having a seared conscience. You no longer experience conviction. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, by the hypocrisy of liars who have been seared in their own conscience. Think of scar tissue that is not as sensitive anymore. That is what's happening with this. Scar tissue, your conscience is tough. It does not respond as it should. And that's what we mean by a seared conscience. So if you're shameless, you have no shame, you don't care who knows, you would share it with anybody, just know that that's a sign of a hard heart and potentially a seared conscience, seriously. And some people have this bravado, like they don't care. It's like, "I don't care what you think about me," but deeply within, they do care a lot about what you think of them. It's always funny because there are many people that will say over and over, like, "I don't care what you think. I don't care what you think." And you're like, "Well, you sure say that a lot to not care what I think. You sure say I don't care what you think a lot." Like, it seems to me like you really do care what I think. So that bravado is often like just this fear of man that's under the guise of this really tough outer shell. But in reality, when a person has no concern about their sins and others hearing about it, it's like that is a terrifying place to be. Some embarrassment is good. When your embarrassment is over the things that embarrass the Lord, when you have shame over the things that bring shame to the name of Christ, see that as a good gift, totally as a good gift. So how do we begin to respond to our embarrassment? Well, let's get this topic started, and then I'd like to finish it in our next episode. So number one, how do we respond? Seek to discern with God's word and wise counselors the why of embarrassment. Why was it so embarrassing for you? Think that through. And I know that's a biblical counseling question to ask. It has to do with the heart. We're getting at the root, not the fruit. But why were you embarrassed? What were you wanting in that moment? Seriously, what were you wanting? So it's the proverbial, I have toilet paper on my shoe and I come out of the bathroom with it chasing me. What do I want in that moment? I want to be seen as competent, suave, attractive. It's like, okay, that's the real hard issue. And the reason you're embarrassed is because of what you're wanting in that moment. When you look at, you know, maybe you say something goofy, it didn't fit the context, and now you're embarrassed about it. It's like, well, maybe you wanted to be perceived as competent. And people say, no, that's not, what are you talking about? No, that has nothing to do with it. What were you wanting to be competent? Now, does that mean that you inherently have sinned? No, it doesn't. But what this does is it gives you a starting point for understanding why you do experience embarrassment in the first place. The ground zero for your heart and its motivations. Remember, ground zero is always going to be that whether I'm home or away, 2 Corinthians 5:9, I make it my ambition to be pleasing to the Lord. What's your driving number one motivation? Not to be competent, not to be chic, not to be attractive, not to be thoughtful, not to be the good person, the good parent. That is not my number one goal. My number one goal is to glorify God. That's it. And here is the kicker, and this is a hard truth to swallow. The reality is that I can glorify God and make mistakes and come across like a goofball. And I can glorify God with a trail of toilet paper following me because it's stuck to my shoe. I can glorify God in that moment. And if I make being competent the number one goal, I've actually now swapped God from being number one and whom I'm serving and living for. And I've made my competency number one. Do you see? So some embarrassment does lead us to repentance when we say, I'm worshiping something or someone other than God. When we talk about embarrassment and shame, you know, I don't want to make this sound easy, but let's not overcomplicate it either. Repentance is the idea that you repent of your sin. This is the 180, I confess, acknowledge, move forward. You repent of your sin and you move forward. Repentance means I acknowledge this is what God has done, I confess it, and I turn, not I wallow in it. If you've done something sinful and you have right shame and embarrassment about it, the solution is not to wallow in that. You know what the term wallow means? Like think of a pig in mud, just like spiraling. Think of this downward spiral where I'm miserable. I'm thinking about myself. I'm meditating on my sin, not my savior. And it's like, I'm spiraling out of control. That is exactly what shame is not intended to do. It's to mobilize repentance and that you would confess and forsake and move forward, not wallow in your sin and continue to mobilize unfaithfulness. So here is the thing, and this is going to be the stopping point for today. Some of you wonder, Dr. Gifford, like, how do I know? How do I know if this is something that the Bible would want me to be sinful over, or is this my own sensitive conscience? And hear me out on this. If the Bible does not overtly say it, or it's not deduced from the scripture clearly, then it is not a black and white matter of sin. This is a Christian liberty and it corresponds to your conscience. Meaning some of you have a very sensitive conscience and so you feel shame over things that are not shameful. What is not gonna help you is to confess and repent because over time, the amount of things that you feel shameful about continues to grow. So you now confess that one and then like whack-a-mole, there's another one. Oh, and then there's another one. And it's like, man, I can't confess and repent enough because I have a hypersensitive conscience. Whereas I would say, remember the authority of the scripture, that God's word is the final authority for life and practice, faith and practice, meaning that to disobey this, the words of scripture is to disbelieve or disobey the words of God himself. That's the Grudem definition. So that means God's word is more authoritative than my conscience. And if I have an overly sensitive conscience, then I need to jettison the authority of my conscience and adhere to the authority of scripture. And that is a turning point. So if the Bible doesn't say expressly or by deducement or deduction, then I am not going to allow shame to come and to percolate. I turn from that. Like, no, I have nothing to be ashamed of is the way that I would respond. I didn't do anything wrong. Is it wrong to have toilet paper on your shoe when you leave the bathroom? It's like, well, it's embarrassing, but it's not sinful. So what do? I move forward in faithfulness. We got to turn that mechanism. Otherwise, we have to have this trail of tears confession where we're confessing everything and another thing pops up and another thing and another thing. So it stops there. So I got to be done for today. When we come back next episode, I'll pick up this idea of what do we do about mistakes then, or maybe foolish things. So let me pray for us. Lord, it is our goal to have emotions that match your will and the authority of your word. And even when we experience things like embarrassment, may that be because our emotions and our heart are rightly sanctified to be like your son. So we're embarrassed over what should really embarrass us and what is truly shameful. There are individuals listening to this that are more timid and perhaps more careful and sensitive to conviction that is not accurate. Would you use these episodes to set them free and to attenuate their conscience, not to their emotions, their own expectations of themselves, but back to your word? Set them free by the power of your word, we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.